I don't know if you guys were aware or not, but June is Men's Health Awareness Month, and from the Urology Centers of Alabama, Dr. Patrick Mills now joins us on the Jocks Roundtable. Packy, we appreciate the time. If I'm a man, I'm 40 like Mike Gundy, what is something I need to make sure that I'm doing to make sure I'm healthy right now?
Well, you know, Lance, there's a lot of things that you need to focus on. Mainly, for one thing, everybody needs to have a primary care physician to get regular checkups. But in terms of your urinary tract system, what we mainly focus on are men that have problems with prostate glands. Men, as they age, of course, tend to have enlargement of the prostate gland, and the key to that is trying to determine who actually just has a benign condition versus possibly prostate cancer. So it's real important for men aged 40 to 45 to have yearly checkups and also have yearly blood testing with the PSA test. The prostate cancer blood test, which is the PSA, stands for prostate specific antigen, and typically that number should fall somewhere. Used to be any number below 4 was considered normal. As time has gone by, though, they've actually lowered that to the cutoff limit being 2.5. So, you know, in terms of prostate cancer, it's the second most frequent malignancy in men, and it's the fifth leading cause of death worldwide in men. So, it's very important for men to get yearly checkups with examinations and also the blood test.
What age do I need to start that, though? Because I've heard some conflicting ages on that. I'm 44. Do I need to be doing that every year now?
In men, it's anywhere between 40 and 50 years of age.
Okay.
African American men have a higher incidence of prostate cancer, and they actually develop a more aggressive form of prostate cancer. So typically we'll say for African Americans, they should start at age 45, and if they have a family history, they should bump that back 5 years and start at age 40. For white men, typically they start at age 50 to get screened, and if they have a family history, move that back 5 years and start at age 45.
Okay, let me ask you, Doc. You know I'm the oldest one on the show because you listen to us. I've got characteristics of urination issues. If I've got one of these, three of these, eight of these, does that mean I have prostate cancer, or do I just have a problem going to the bathroom?
Yeah, most of the time, Jim, is related to just benign enlargement of the prostate. And, you know, if you look, typically about 60% of all men over age 50 will have some type of voiding dysfunction. That's the key also is to having the yearly exams, is trying to differentiate those people that actually may have prostate cancer versus those that just have benign enlargement. And, again, most of that is based upon your blood test, your PSA blood test, and also the physical examination that we perform. But like I said, the majority of the time it's not cancerous. But that's what we have to rule out and make sure that's not an issue.
June is Men Health Awareness Month. Dr. Patrick Mills from the Urology Centers of Alabama, 14 locations, 30 physicians, 930-0920. Packy, a lot of people might not realize, but 12 years this coming fall, you were the guy that performed my vasectomy. So if anybody's in the...
Wait, it's not a holiday. Why would I remember that?
Do we get the day off
I'm not
work?
Saying you guys would remember it. He would remember it.
he does so many of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you...
Well, I mean, he...
It's been 12 years already.
Yeah, wow.
I'll never forget. I had it scheduled with somebody else, and we threw it out there on the air, and then you and I talked, and I remember going in and no pain. It was such an easy process, and I know a lot of guys out there are probably in the market to get a vasectomy. You guys do that as well?
Yeah, Lance, it's the most common procedure performed on men in the country. And, everybody, when you start talking to them about doing a vasectomy, most men cringe. And so it's a lot of times it's the hardest part is just getting them into the office to come talk about it. But it's certainly much easier for a man to get a vasectomy than, say, for your wife to go get a tubal ligation performed where they have to be put completely under and have to have an outpatient surgical procedure, whereas the vasectomy is done in the office, and literally it takes 10 to 15 minutes to perform. And, you know, the way we do it is most people are given a light sedative to relax them. And then the procedure, really the only discomfort that you're going to have is that we have to numb the skin with a little Novocaine shot. And then we make just a small opening to find the vas deferens, which is the tube that transports the sperm. and we separate that tube, and typically, again, that takes 10 to 15 minutes. And most people are fine to go about their normal activities the next day in terms of walking, driving, going out to eat. Now, what we don't want is that we don't want them doing any strenuous activity for about 5 to 7 days. We don't want you, you know, jogging or working out. You know, some of the guys that we do, you know, have strenuous jobs. We don't want them, you know, on a construction site lifting a lot of heavy beams and such like that, or, you know, concrete sacks and things like that. So we really want to limit your activities in terms of intense physical activity for a few days. But as far as just walking around, you'll feel fine.
Concrete sacks was a really good use there for you, Doc. I like that a lot. You fit into our show really well. Can I ask you really quick, off the vasectomy thing, because I've had one as well, a lot of people that I hear say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm worried about it affecting my testosterone level or my sexual performance or anything like that. Is there any worries about any of that off of a vasectomy? I don't think so, but you tell me. You're the doc.
Yeah, no, it does not. It has no effects whatsoever on your testosterone levels or any functioning of the testicles themselves. In fact, you know, after a vasectomy, the testicles continue to make sperm. You know, so, you know, what happens is this, if they're trapped, they can't get out. They eventually die. Your body digests them, and the process goes on over and over again. And that's the reason why, you know, you hear some people talk about getting their vasectomy reversed. So, you know, that's a procedure that we perform also. It's called a vasovasotomy, which means that we go back, we hook the tubes back up, and that's for people who decide to have more children, people who get in a new relationship with someone who's never had children and they want to have children. So, but that's the, in terms of the sexual function, it has no ill effects on that whatsoever. Does not affect the hormone levels. Really, there is no difference that a person would know physically from having the procedure performed.
Like anything else, Dr. Mills, I'm sure, you know, with science and with time, things get more and more advanced. I on the reversal part of it, there used to be a percentage number. You guys, you know, would say, well, there's a certain percent chance this will work. That, I assume, has gotten more advanced. What is the percentage that you can reverse it and go back to normal function like that?
Yeah, typically, you know, you try to catch these folks that want to have it reversed within about 7 or 8 years. And if you do that, the chance of it being successful, meaning that after the procedure that we're able to see sperm in a specimen, is between 70% and 80%.
Wow.
Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily translate into pregnancy rate, though, because you also have, you know, factors that go on with the woman that can affect fertility. But in terms of saying, once we do the procedure, we hook the tubes back up, and then on a post-operative check that we actually see, you know, live sperm, it's approximately 70% to 80%.
I want to ask you one more thing before you get out of here, Doc. If because this impacts so many men who like going to sporting events, if you got to go to the bathroom a lot, what are some things that could get done at your place that could correct that problem? Is there anything that could correct that? I saw something about Botox. You use that in some kind of treatment or something? Can you explain some of the things that could help me or our listeners or me in the bathroom department?
Well, typically, you know, if we've seen and evaluated a person, we find out that, gosh, your symptoms are mainly being caused just by the benign enlargement of the prostate gland, then, yeah, there's several treatments that are out there. You know, most people will be placed on medical management first, Jim. There's medications that are called alpha blocker medications that a person takes once a day, and that actually relaxes the prostate area, makes the prostate have a larger channel for the urine to flow. So that's typically the first step, is that many men try the medication to see if that will cut down on getting up at nighttime, going to the bathroom, or having the urgency to go to the bathroom, and also folks that have the weak stream associated with it. Other procedures, there's a newer procedure that's come out, which is turning out to be a really successful procedure for men that have difficulty urinating, and it's called the UroLift procedure. And basically, that's an outpatient procedure that can either be done in an outpatient surgery center, or in some instances, it's even done in the office. So basically, what happens is that we look in with a little telescope, and we put these stitches in the side of the prostate that open it up. up that go through and actually just kind of take the closed prostatic channel, and it opens up the channel and to give you a free flow of urine. And that's been a huge procedure just because of the fact that really people go home the same day. They don't have to wear a catheter after the procedure. They really have minimal side effects from it, and it has no sexual dysfunction side effects. So it's taken over in a lot of situations where men that have been on medication for long term, they say, gosh, I'm tired of taking this medication, and they've chosen to have this procedure performed. And it's been successful in over 90% of the cases.
For urinary issues, low testosterone, vasectomies, the Urology Centers of Alabama, 14 locations, 30 physicians, call 930-0920. You can also go online, urologycentersalabama.com. Dr. Patrick Mills, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, fellas. Y'all have a great day. I appreciate you.
All right, man. You too.
Bye.
All right, 9/11 on the show. I mean, that's one of those things that for men,
we've all got to deal with it.
We all deal with it as we pass the age of 40. And boy, can it be frustrating if you say at the end of the first quarter of a big SEC football game. Thank God for CBS, but sometimes you can't make it to the bathroom and back before they snap the ball again. And the big drive's going on, you got to go to the bathroom. It's impacting your enjoyment of the game just thinking about not going to the bathroom.
There's no doubt. And then also, you know, for guys that have low T, I would say the majority of anybody over 40 has low T or lower T. I mean, this is just something that has become part of our society. It can change your life once you get that testosterone back in you.
I don't want to help out Alan Green or Greg Byrne here, but a lot of the reasons men tell me they stay at home is, first of all, is they like to watch all the other games, and number two is they like the ability to quickly go to their bathroom and make it back during a commercial break on television just so they don't miss any plays in the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got to go to the bathroom over a four-hour period, three or four times, which, you know, if you're having a couple of beverages, I mean, that happens.
Yeah, you miss a lot of a game.